Right. I have three people here who are going to help me this morning. Oh, there's one of them. Oh, there's another one. Where's the third one? Oh, there they are. Yes, I have all three of them. Marvelous. Marvelous. Right. I have with me Helen, Rebecca, and Fergus. And I wonder if by looking at them, you could tell me something about them. Can anybody tell me something about one of these three people by looking at them? What can you tell me? Yes, what can you tell me? One of them plays football. And which one's that? Fergus plays football. Fergus, do you play football? Good, good, good. What about Helen or Rebecca? Can anybody tell me something about Helen or Rebecca? No? Oh, yes. What can you tell me about Helen or Rebecca? Okay, well, actually, that's Helen, but you're right. That's Helen. Helen's a police officer. And what about Rebecca? And she's a nurse. Well done. We can tell by looking at our friends, Helen, Rebecca, and Fergus, something about them. So, and I promised them I wasn't going to make them say anything, and I'm going to keep to my promise. So thank you very much. You can take your hat off now, Helen. Thank you to them for that. Yay. So, by looking at three people, we could tell something about them. And I have a question, because the reading today always makes me think of this question. So I'm going to ask you to think about it with me. What does a person of faith look like? What does a person of faith look like? Can we look at someone and say, ooh, yeah, they've got faith. We know that. We can tell by looking. Let's think a little bit about the story that we, well, the two stories that Peter read to us today. We've got two stories, one about Jesus and his encounter with a Roman centurion, and another about Jesus and his encounter with a widow whose son had died. And these two stories take place in Capernaum and Nain, and I have a picture to tell you where those places are because I don't know about you, but I wasn't absolutely sure where Nain was. So if you look at where the lake is the blue bit, the small blue bit. The sea is the Mediterranean Sea is the big blue bit. The Sea of Galilee, oh, thank you for the dot. That's great. Is the Sea of Galilee. And at the top of the Sea of Galilee, you have Capernaum. Thank you. Brilliant. And that's where Jesus, yes, indeed, sees the centurion. And Nain is a little bit to the south and the west. There we go. And that's Nain. And these two miracles are the first recorded acts of Jesus following what we heard about last week, which was part of Jesus' Sermon on the Plain. And last week's reading, we heard these words: "Woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort." But today's reading tells us that the Roman centurion had built the synagogue in Capernaum, so he must have been at least a little bit well off, had a little bit of money to be able to do that. And we also heard last week, "Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh." And we know that there was definitely rejoicing in our reading today, because we're told Jesus gave the widow's son back to his mother. "A great prophet has appeared among us," said the people when he'd done this. "God has come to help his people." So comfort comes to those who are weeping, as Jesus promised. But what about those other words? "Woe to you who are rich." Doesn't that mean that someone like the Roman centurion who has money better watch out? Well, let's look at the first story that we heard today from chapter 7. As I said, the centurion seems to have been well off, maybe even rich, because he built the synagogue in Capernaum. And it seems he was friendly with the Jewish leaders in the town. Now, that's a bit strange. That's unusual, because a Roman centurion is an officer in the army. He was a representative of the Roman Empire. And most Jewish people wouldn't have thought of him as a friend. He would have perhaps been thought of more of as an enemy. And what else do we learn about the Roman centurion? Well, he's a man who's used to giving orders and having his orders obeyed. So we could say he's a man of authority. And I found a picture of a centurion. I quite like this one because he looks like he's giving orders and I'm sure he's being obeyed and everybody does what he's told when this guy says this is what you're supposed to do. But even though he's a very important man and he's used to having his orders obeyed, he doesn't order Jesus to help him. Even though he's a man with a lot of power, great power, he's very humble in his approach to Jesus. And he even sends his Jewish friends because he knows that a Jewish teacher like Jesus doesn't usually go to the homes of non-Jewish people or even meet them in person. It was one of the rules of the Jewish faith at that time. You didn't go meet non-Jewish people, and you definitely didn't go to their houses. The Roman centurion knew that, and he didn't want to make things difficult for Jesus, so he sent his Jewish friends instead. But Jesus wasn't afraid of being with other people, even if the rules said otherwise. So he sets out for the Roman centurion's house. But then he gets another message, and a message that shows just how much respect the centurion had for Jesus. But he shows more than respect. He shows faith. He has so much faith in Jesus that he believes Jesus can heal the servant from a distance. Now, there are a number of occasions the Bible tells us that people are amazed by the things that Jesus says and does. In fact, the reading we had today, when Jesus raises the widow's son from the dead, we're told that the people are amazed and they see something in Jesus that they've never seen before. And they believe that God has come to help his people. But in the story of the Roman centurion, it's actually Jesus who's amazed. And Jesus says about this man, "I tell you, I've not found greater faith even in Israel." Now, at the time of Jesus, most Jewish people wouldn't have looked at a Roman centurion and seen a man of faith. As I said before, most of them would have seen an enemy, a representative of the Roman Empire, an empire which persecuted many Jewish people. But Jesus could see beyond the uniform into the heart of the man, and what he saw amazed him because he saw great faith. In our sermon series in the evening, we're looking at Samuel's story, the story of Samuel and David and Saul. And there is it's not tonight's reading, but coming up in the next couple weeks, in 1 Samuel 16, we read these words. "The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And that's what Jesus does here. He looks at the heart of the Roman centurion, and he likes what he sees. Do you remember the question I asked at the beginning? What does a person of faith look like? Can we tell a person has faith by what they look like? And the centurion, do you think he looked like a person of faith to the people of Capernaum? We can recognize a nurse or a police officer or a Newcastle supporter by what they wear. But are there any ways to tell whether a person is a person of faith or not? What about if they wear a cross? I wear a cross. I have several. Actually, I have quite a little collection going at the moment. My husband gave me this one for Christmas several years ago, and it's very special to me, as are the other crosses I own, because, well, not just because they've been given to me as presents by people I care about, but more importantly, because they symbolize for me what Jesus did by dying on the cross. And I know a number of Christians who wear crosses. So maybe that's how you tell a person of faith, because they wear a cross. Well, I'm not so sure, and let me tell you why. I went to have my hair cut last week, and I love going to the hairdresser because it's a great place to read magazines that you would never buy yourself. So I was reading one of those magazines. And there was an article about how to put together different looks. And one of the looks that you could put together was Gothic, which I have to say is not one I'm going to try out, so don't worry. But I was quite troubled by this article because it said, one of the phrases in the article was it said that to add impact to a Gothic outfit, wear a crucifix. And I kind of went, ooh. Because a crucifix is a cross with an image of Jesus on the cross. And to me, it's a powerful symbol of Good Friday when Jesus died on the cross. And you'd think most people would know that, but not necessarily. My sister-in-law was shopping for a watch in a jewelry store, and she overheard a conversation, a man and a woman who were in the shop at the same time. And the man said to the woman, "So what do you think you want then?" And the woman says, "Oh, I think I want a gold cross." And the man says, "Okay, well, which one would you like then?" And the woman says, "I think I want the one with the little man on it." And it was obvious that the woman didn't have a clue that the little man on the cross had a name. Jesus. To her, it was a fashion statement, the in bit of jewelry. So the wearing of a cross may indicate a believer, a person of faith, but not necessarily. So what about maybe the clothes people wear, plastic collars, the words they use, or maybe even the way of life of someone? Are they true indicators? And they can help us think, well, maybe this person is a person of faith, but they're not foolproof. If we take only the things we can see or hear, we will be mistaken. Because only God can know our hearts and whether we truly follow Him. So I think it's probably best if we don't make assumptions about other people, but we work hard on our own relationship with Jesus. As I said, the chapter before the chapter today that we're looking at is this teaching of Jesus called the Sermon on the Plain. And in that teaching, Jesus said these words, "Do not judge others, and God will not judge you. Do not condemn others, and God will not condemn you. Forgive others, and God will forgive you. Give to others, and God will give to you. Indeed, you will receive a full measure, a generous helping, poured into your hands, all that you can hold. For the measure you use for others is the one that God will use for you." So what does a person of faith look like? God knows. Amen.